Matthew 25, verse 31. I heard a joke this week that I had told you probably several years back. I'm trying to remember and tell you again. There was a lady, elderly lady, that was pulled over by the police. When the officer came up to her vehicle, he said, "Ma'am, were you aware that you were speeding?" She said, "No, I wasn't aware I was speeding." He says, "Well, you were." He says, "Can I see your driver's license, please?" She said, "I don't have a driver's license. I lost it when I was driving drunk." He says, "Well, do you have a registration?" She says, "No, I don't have a registration in this car. I stole it." He said, "You stole it?" She said, "Yes. Matter of fact, I killed the man that owned it before, and I've got him in the trunk." That time he backed off a little bit, went back to his car, and called his superiors. In just a few minutes, there were several policemen there, including his commanding officer. And he went up to the lady and said, "Ma'am, do you have a driver's license?" She said, "Sure, I have a driver's license. Here it is." He said, "Do you have registration in this car?" She said, "Sure, I have registration in this car. Here it is." He said, "Do you mind popping the trunk?" She said, "Sure." She popped the trunk, as clean as can be. He went back to her and said, "I don't understand." He said, "The officer here that pulled you over said that you didn't have a driver's license, that you didn't have a registration in this car, that you had stolen it and killed the man and put him in the trunk." She said, "You're kidding." She said, "I bet he told you I was speeding too." Remember that when you want to get out of a speeding ticket. See if that will work. Matthew 25, verse 31. "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then he shall answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch that ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal, or life eternal. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for those who've come. And I pray that you would bless us tonight, that you would speak to our hearts, and God, that you would reveal yourself and your truth to us tonight, that we would be blessed by being here and helped and strengthened and encouraged and instructed in our attendance here tonight into your house. Help us to worship you and see you and glory in you. We pray in Christ's name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, we know some things for certain. I hope. We know for certain that Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen. We don't know exactly when He's coming. But here in the text, we are told and we know now what will happen when He does come. We know He's coming. We don't know exactly when He's going to come, but we know what's going to happen when He does come. Amen? And so we see that here in this text. So I want to share with you three things tonight from the text that I hope will instruct us and help us when maybe we're answering the question of others who don't know exactly what will happen in the end or have some sort of confusion. Number one, there is the beginning here, a formal defining. Jesus says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations." Now, if we think about it for just a moment, when Christ was here on this earth, when Jesus was here in His human body, there may have been some confusion, and there may have been some debate, and there still may be some confusion and debate about who truly Jesus is. Is Jesus God? Is Jesus the Messiah? I talk a lot about Jesus being king and sovereign. Is He truly that? Or is all this just a good story? Well, can I say this? When Jesus does come again, there will be no confusion. There will be no debate. There will be no doubt. He is coming in His glory. And there will be no discussion about who He is or the claims that He made. Jesus Christ will be exactly who Jesus said that He was. He is God. He is the Messiah. He is Lord. He is King. He is the sovereign one of the universe. He is the one that we will worship for all of eternity. In Him we will see God. Amen? Notice two things about His formal defining and the removal of any confusion or debate. Notice His position. It says here that when Jesus Christ comes again, He will come in His glory, all of His holy angels will come with Him, and He shall sit upon the throne of His glory. Now, do you know what people who sit on thrones do? They rule. They reign. They're in charge. They have absolute authority. Amen? When Jesus Christ comes, He is not coming back as a lamb. He is coming back as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He is coming back as the Lion of Judah. Amen? The last time that people on earth saw Him, many saw Him on a cross, dying between two thieves, and then buried in a borrowed tomb. He certainly didn't look like God when He left this earth. But when He comes back, there will be no doubt He is coming back as King and Lord and Sovereign and Ruler and Reigner over all things. And He sets the terms. Notice here, not only His position, but notice His power. "And before Him shall be gathered all nations." Or we could say, all people. Now they're not coming on their own. They're not coming of their own free will. They shall be gathered. They are compelled. They are forced to come before the judge of the world. And His power is displayed not only in all men must come and be gathered to Him, and that means every person without exception will stand before God in judgment, will stand before Christ in judgment. There's no one that will get out of standing before God and before Christ. He gathers all men to Himself, and then Jesus will judge every man. Now, for a lot of years, Jesus has been judged by men. A lot of years, people have made the choice of Him, to have Him or not to have Him. But I'm here to tell you that when Jesus comes back, the choices are over. The decisions are over. And we will not be judging Him, but He will be judging us. And His judgment will be true, it will be quick, and it will be final. Amen. He comes back sitting on a throne judging all of humanity in the presence of Himself. Amen. There will be no doubt, no confusion that He is King. He is Lord. It is a formal defining. And we will not judge Him. He will judge us. And His judgment will be absolutely final. Notice secondly, not only a formal defining of Christ, but notice a future division. He says here that when all nations are gathered before Him, He shall separate them one from another. As a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and he shall set the goats on his left. When Christ comes back, sitting on a throne, gathering all nations before Him, judging them, He will separate all men from one another. And the separation will not be by race. It will not be by nationality. There will not be a separation of Jews and Gentiles. There will not be a separation of blacks and whites and Asians and Hispanics. There will not be a separation by gender, male and female. There will not be a separation by age. There will not even be a separation by economic status. There will not be the rich on this side and the poor on this side. No, there will be a separation. Every person without exception will stand before God and will be separated, and the separation will be along spiritual lines. There will be people put onto the right side of Christ and others to be put on the left side of Christ. And one side is good and the other side is not. The division here is whether there is inclusion and whether there is exclusion. Each will include in one place, there will be an inclusion in one place, an exclusion in one place, and there will be inclusion in another and exclusion in another place. Now notice here that they will be separated by their relationship. Not their relationship to one another, but their relationship to God. People are either, you and I are either sheep or we are goats. Those really are the only two types of people. Take away the race, take away the nationalities, take away all of the other things. When it really boils down to it, all that really is going to matter is if you're a sheep or if you're a goat. There are no other species, either sheep or goats. Now, sheep have a unique relationship to the shepherd that the goats do not. Sheep are pictured in the Bible as God's children. They have been called and they have been bought and they have been purchased by the shepherd, and they are led by the shepherd. They know his voice and he knows his sheep. Goats are Satan's children. I'm waiting on you. And separation will occur based on what people are spiritually. Are they God's children or are they not God's children? Have they by faith trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Have they believed in the person of Christ and trusted in the work of Jesus Christ as the only grounds for their salvation? The division is a separation on this basis. Are you God's children or are you not? Those who do not have a relationship with Jesus and those who do. That's what's going to be the separation. Sheep are goats. Sheep on the right hand of God's favor, goats on the left, based upon a relationship that was began and that prospered here on this earth. Not only are they separated because of their relationship, but they are separated because of their based on their response. Jesus says, "For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." Now let me say this before we get too far. Works, good deeds, kindness, compassion doesn't save you. We're not saved by works or goodness or kindness or compassion or mercy or anything like that on our part. But works do prove faith. Works do prove salvation. Amen? So God's people, sheep, respond to others by loving and being kind to others in the church. No, I don't want you to miss that part. Because every act of kindness and every act of mercy and every act of compassion and love is not necessarily the product of faith. Amen? But notice what Jesus says. He says here that when ye did this to the least of my brethren. When you did these things to my people in the church, ye have done it unto me. It is the work of God in and through us to show our brothers and sisters in Christ in the church kindness. And if we have a brother and sister in the church that lacks clothing or lacks food or lacks drink or needs someone where to stay or is sick and are in prison, what are we to do? As God's people and as their brother and sister in Christ, there should be something in us that compels us to help them. And when we help them, when we meet their need, we're really doing it unto Christ. That's what he says. When you did it to the least of these my brethren, not when you give money to the Red Cross, not when you give money to some, when you do it to the people in the church. These are God's people that respond this way. And those who aren't God's people don't respond this way. The sheep are not there because they've done these things. They have done these things because they're sheep. You get that? It is not their doing these things that got them to heaven or glory. It's because they're sheep they did these things out of their nature as sheep. They do these things as God's children. Obedience is not done to be saved. Obedience is true because we are saved. And so he says here, their response has evidenced who they truly are. Sheep are goats. Then he says this, "For I was hungered and you gave me not meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you visited me not." Jesus says here that the kindness that has been shown to His people in the church by His own people will be the same kindness that won't be shown to the people in His church by goats. The needs of the people in the church won't be met. Now that doesn't mean that lost people don't in kindness do things. They'll save the wells, right? They'll do all sorts, but they don't have anything for the church. They don't have any interest in the people of the church. And what God says here is what is done to the church is what you really do to Jesus. Now, notice here that when he talks to the sheep and says, "You've done all these things," what do they say? When did we do these things? When do we do those things? He says, "Well, when did we do these to you?" He says, "Well, when you did it to the least of my brethren, you did this." When he says that what they didn't do to the goats, what do they say? When did we know? We didn't know that you were sick. We didn't know that you were in prison. We didn't know that you had a need, or we would have met it. He says, "But you didn't do it to my least of my brethren." So the sheep were simply doing what God had put in their heart to do. Feed hungry brethren. Give thirsty brethren drink. Give a bed to weary brethren. Clothe the brethren. Visit the sick brethren. Visit the incarcerated brethren. When you do it to them, you do it to me. And if you don't do it to them, you're not doing it to me. God's people not only have a responsibility toward each other, but they have a desire to meet each other's needs because of their relationship to God. God is my Father. And if God is your Father, then you're my brother or you're my sister in Christ. And I should have, as a sheep, as a member of God's family, I should have a desire and a longing and a passion to meet your needs. Amen. And so we have here the future division. Who are they? Goats, sheep, those who respond in love to the brethren and those who don't. They will be separated when Jesus Christ comes. There is the truth that Jesus says that while we are here on earth, that we are to allow the wheat and the tares to grow together. Lest we, in our effort to remove a tear, also mangle up some wheat. But there's coming a day when the wheat and the tear will no longer be growing together. They will be separated by Jesus Christ, who knows all things. Thirdly, a final destiny. Now, I want to hone in on this just a bit because sort of in our day and age, there's this big question mark and there's this big battle going on about hell. And so I want us to look at what Jesus says here. And I could care less what denominations say. I have been accused this week of only saying what the Baptists want me to say. I don't even know what that means. Only saying what the Baptists want me to say. I don't think I've had any board of Baptists who are critiquing my sermons, making sure that I say what the Baptists are supposed to say. Although, I am a Baptist for a reason. Say amen. Now listen, I am not non-denominational. I am not, and I don't even like non-denominational churches. We have removed the denomination from church signs so that we're now just, you know, what we are. We're just happy-go-lucky church or whatever we are. We are Lakeview Baptist Church because we believe that the Baptists have rightly articulated, in most cases, the truth of the Word of God. Amen? And so I am historically Baptist. I'm probably not modern Baptist. I am a historic Baptist. And listen, where the Baptists are not with the Bible, I'm not a Baptist. Amen? Where the Baptists say something that I don't see lines up with Scripture, I'm no longer a Baptist. Amen? Because Scripture always trumps denomination. So I'm not into denominations, and I'm not into the opinions of people, and I'm not into it, but I'm very interested in what Jesus has to say. Now, notice here that there are two places of final destiny. Two. In other words, let me say this. Death does not end anything for anybody. There are two final destinies that Jesus speaks of here. There is firstly a prepared place for God's sheep. Jesus says that there is a place that His people, those on the right, the sheep on the right, who His people will inherit. I like that word. Inherit. It is a place that has been prepared for them before the foundation of the world. Now, you've got to work that out. Say amen. He says that the righteous will inherit life eternal, which means that this place, this prepared place, this inherited place, this place of life is eternal. We understand this to be in the presence of the Lord. And we understand by Christ terming this place as eternal that it has no end. Really, eternal has no beginning or end. Now notice the word here that Jesus uses. He says, come. He says to the sheep, come. Now, that's a word that includes the one that is saying come. Come. It is a word of inclusion. That is where Jesus will be also. If you want to be with Jesus, you have to go to the place where Jesus will be. That's where the sheep will be. That's where the sheep will inherit. That's where life eternal will be. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It is eternity with Jesus, and this blessed place will have no end. Matter of fact, Jesus says that those sheep that are going to this place have inherited it because there's no way they could merit it. It's been given to them. And they have been favored, or they have been blessed by the Father. It is a place for people blessed by the Father. Blessed by the Father in what way? Blessed by the Father in the giving of His Son. Blessed by the Father in receiving faith. Blessed by the Father in receiving repentance. Blessed by the Father in the drawing to the Son. The Father has blessed these people, made them sheep. They have not earned it. They have inherited it by being adopted into the family of God. That's where sheep go. To this prepared place that we call heaven. To this prepared place that is inherited and is given and blessed to the sheep or God's children who have a relationship with Him that is evidenced by their obedience in loving and caring for the brethren. You with me? But there is another place, according to Jesus, right? There is another place. It is a place of punishment. Now, I understand this. I think Jesus is teaching, I think Scripture teaches that there is a heaven and there also is a hell. Now, despite what you hear at funerals, especially in the upstate, everyone who dies does not go to heaven. Now, I know that nobody has died and gone through a funeral here in the upstate that they didn't preach them into heaven. But everybody that dies doesn't go to heaven. And death is not the end of things for those who are lost. Death is not the final thing, and I don't think death is the worst thing for those who are not God's children. They think death is the worst thing, but they'll find out death is not the worst thing. There is a place of punishment. And as we call the prepared place that is inherited by God's sheep, heaven, we call the place of God's punishment, hell, or what will be turned into the lake or poured into the lake of fire. Jesus says here that those who are not His, those that are goats, those who are separated to His left, they will be put in, He says, everlasting fire. That's what Jesus says. So if we want to try to subtract fire from hell, we have no warrant to do that based upon what Jesus says. He says these goats will be put in everlasting fire. And we understand that everlasting fire would be fire that never ends. He says also here that they are cursed. They're not blessed by the Father. They're cursed by the Father. They will be in a place prepared for the devil and his demons. And he says, last verse, that this place of torment, this place of fire, this place of curses, this place of the devil and his demons is a place that is everlasting. It has no end. And he says to these goats, you remember he said to the sheep, come. He says to the goats, depart from me. That is a clear separation for all eternity from God to receive in hell the wrath of God. Now, those who believe in annihilation, that once a sinner who is not saved, who is not redeemed, once a sinner dies, that they're merely burn up and it's over. That has no scriptural warrant whatsoever. Because Jesus says here that what? It is everlasting. It is an awful place where torments never end. Look at the last verse with me if you could. Jesus says, and these shall go away, the goats, into everlasting punishment, but the righteous, the sheep, into life eternal. Now you can't have it one way or the other. If heaven is eternal, then hell is everlasting. You can't have an eternal heaven without having an everlasting hell. You can't have a heaven that saved people go to and then nothing that lost people go to. Annihilation, burning up, we're done, poof. I'm going to be honest with you. We might hedge our bets if there's no hell we have to deal with after this life. Doesn't that take away the fear of God? Doesn't that make Jesus a liar here? It's sad that people are so trying to walk down certain teaching lines that they would call, in a very real sense, Jesus a liar. Either there's no heaven and no hell, or there's a heaven and there's a hell. However you want to look at that. Either Jesus is totally wrong, or he's totally right. But you can't have everlasting peace, glory, eternal heaven without an everlasting hell. Because Jesus puts them both here in the last verse in this passage. There must be both, or there can be neither. And I don't think, like some people think, that hell is on earth. Although sometimes I think I've died and this is hell, but I don't think it's true. Tomorrow morning I will go to school and I will think that I've died and gone to hell. And this is my eternal punishment, but that's not true either. According to Jesus, there's both. There's a heaven for God's sheep. There's a hell for goats that don't know God, and both places are forever. And there's not a stop off in between. There's not a place you go to and people pray you out or buy you out. When you lift up your eyes, when you draw your last breath, you will be in one or two places. You will be in heaven as God's children, or you will be in hell as a goat. A place called heaven for God's sheep, and a place called hell for those who are not His. And both places have no end. Amen? Can I say this? What you want to be, what you need to be is a sheep. Because if you're not a sheep, you don't go to heaven. If you're not God, you don't go. You go to hell. So you want to be a sheep. You want to be on the right side here when separation comes. But don't let anyone fool you about this. Those who don't know God will go to everlasting punishment. Those who do will go to life eternal. And glorious will be our eternity with Christ. Can you imagine how glorious that is going to be? To be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. And to be in His presence and have no end. Have no other place to be. Have no other place that you want to be. But with Him, it will be a glorious eternity compared to a terrible, awful eternity in hell. It is so true that the devil uses religion to try to saw off the legs from under Scripture. But the Scripture will stand. God will be true, and all men will be found liars. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, bless the word to your people's hearts tonight. We thank you that our Savior is coming back as King, as Lord, to sit and to rule and reign on the throne, to judge the quick and the dead. He will separate out the goats from the sheep, and He will put them one or two places. He will put the sheep into heaven. He will put the goats into hell, and there will be everlasting, eternal places to be. God, we pray that you would cause our hearts to fear and cause our hearts to rejoice in Christ, who makes our eternal home in heaven sure. We love you and we thank you in Christ's name.